Thank you. sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said,
"It is finished."
Then he bowed his head and gave up the spirit.
We call this Good Friday? What was that? And maybe another question follows close behind it. One I can easily imagine a child asking when we hear John's gospel. When Jesus says, "It is finished." What's finished? Over the centuries, Christians have tried to answer that question in many ways. One common answer is that Jesus dies in our place, that somehow his suffering pays the price for our sin so that we can be forgiven. And there is some truth there. But if we're honest, that can leave us with even more questions. If God is love, why does forgiveness require this? Why does it look like this? In preparation for writing my sermons today, I have been revisiting one of my favorite theology books from seminary, N.T. Wright's Evil and the Justice of God. One of Wright's major points is that the Old Testament can be understood as the story of what God has done, is doing, and will do about evil. God names evil, confronts it, judges it, stops it from accomplishing its evil aims, and then, over and over, God transforms evil and uses it to start something new, working through and out the other side to fulfill the promise he had for creation from the beginning when he made all things and declared them good. Think Cain and Abel, the great flood, Joseph sold into slavery, Moses' mother putting him in a basket to save him from Pharaoh, Israelites' slavery in Egypt, Nebuchadnezzar throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den, Samson getting a haircut, and on and on. God, as an active participant in the events of the world, transforming evil for God's purposes. It's with that lens that I want us to refocus on the figure of Jesus on the cross this Good Friday. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus doesn't just speak about God. Through his actions and choices, he shows us who God is. His life is God's message in flesh and blood. And if that's true, then the cross is not just something that happens to Jesus. It's something that reveals God, reveals who God is, and what God is doing in the world. Imagine for a moment that the story had gone differently. Jesus could have avoided Jerusalem. He could have kept a low profile, stayed safe, stayed alive. Many wise and good teachers have done just that, and we barely remember their names. But Jesus did not turn away. And that tells us something. That Jesus was willing to die for his message. It communicates that the truths he spoke, the life he lived, the love he embodied, are bigger than life itself. Bigger even than death. It tells us that there's something more important than merely surviving. Something more important than ourselves. Christ shows us by facing the cross that our lives are meant to be spent on what is greater than our own self-interest. Just as he's been telling us with his words and showing us with his life all along. Indeed, how else could his life have ended? Or imagine another possibility, that Jesus fights back. He had followers. He had power. He could have resisted. He could have answered violence with violence, evil with evil. Instead, he meets hatred without returning it. He absorbs it. He refuses to let it have the final word. And that, too, tells us something about God. It tells us that God does not overcome evil by crushing it, but by transforming it. Because we know how the other way works. Violence breeds more violence. Resentment spreads. Injury multiplies. We carry wounds, and then we pass them on. But forgiveness, costly, painful forgiveness, does something different. It stops the cycle. It absorbs the wound instead of passing it along. It refuses. showing us a way through, a way where evil is not returned, but is transformed, where hatred does not have the last word, where the worst that life can throw